scriptural affirmation today comes from Kings. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account. Let the priest take it to them, every man of his own acquaintance, and let him repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priests, and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. Howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Pray with me, please. Father, sometimes we look at everyday life, some of the things that we need to go through, some of the things that people go on through, and we just begin to wonder, why did they do it that way? Help us this day to understand your word. We believe that your word is given to us to build us up, to help us, to glorify your name. But we need to understand it. So today, open our ears, open our eyes, open our heart, that we might get it and that we might just enjoy your presence as you teach us your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We want to give ourselves to you. We want to surrender ourselves fully to you. We want to do it in such a way that you are honored. We want to do it in such a way that we might experience the joy of the Lord. Because really, Lord, we need your strength. And we've heard that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, Lord, my Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. And we praise you and we thank you. And we give all that we are to you today, Lord. May we give ourselves living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. And Lord, please help us not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But in this process, Lord, we won't think too highly of ourselves. We will think soberly. We will think seriously, because everybody's been given a gift. And today you want us to exercise those gifts in the employment of building up the body. So help us. Work in us. Work through us, so that we love each other well for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is, I think, in hindsight, a very strange choice of scripture to be able to share with you today. But it is really, really interesting when you take and you delve into this story. Let me read a little bit of it, and then I'll show you why it's so interesting to me. In the fourth verse of chapter 12 of 2 Kings, fourth verse of chapter 12 of 2 Kings, and Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. And you need to get the picture. The temple is kind of falling apart. Things don't look quite right. It's not in good repair. It's not in good shape. And this particular king was extremely sensitive to that. In fact, he's called a good king, one of the few good kings out of like the 19 or 20 kings that we talk about in Kings. Only about 8 of them are really good kings according to the Bible's estimations. And this is one of them. At least he was a good king as long as the priests Jehoiada were alive. As long as he was listening to Jehoiada, he was a good king. And that's a big deal, because how the king went is usually how the nation went. You know, how our leaders go is usually how the rest of the stuff goes around us. And, well, maybe that's a commentary about our lives today, but I won't go there. Just this guy, this good king, but how did he get to this place? He wants the priest to start fixing things up. Sounds good so far. Verse 6. But it was so that in 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. This is interesting if you do a little bit of the math. This Jehoash became king at the age of 7. He was 30. He is now a man. He is fully man in Jewish society. And he's going to flex his muscle a little bit. Now, he's been king for a good while. But why could it be that he might not have been flexing his muscle? He was just listening to Jehoiada. Well, it's all because of how this thing happened. Go back with me to the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of 2 Kings. the Bible can be a bloody book. I mean, we need to deal with that sometimes. Sometimes it's a bloody book. Sometimes you see some things that happen that really are not good models for us to try to pick up. And it turns out that he became king in a very, what we would think, strange way. His father was murdered. And when his father died, there was this woman that decided she was going to take advantage of that situation, and she took over. Chapter 11, verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. I'm killing them all. I'm getting rid of anybody who would have a legitimate claim to the throne. Boom, you're gone. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him. Only one that escaped that could have a claim to the throne. And they hid him, even and his nurse, in the bedchamber of Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord, 6 years. Isn't it amazing that you could get away with hiding someone in the house of the Lord? Well, that happens when a culture stops going into the house of the Lord. You can hide stuff in there and nobody knows what's going on. And that's what happened here. She's hiding this child who's growing up. Imagine that. You had to hide from the crying, hide from the playing, hide all of this stuff. This child is being hid for all of these years. And he was with her in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So this scary woman was in charge. She was reigning over the whole land. But in the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. How amazed they must have been when they found out there's somebody from the royal family that could be in charge. There's somebody. We don't have to listen to this murderous woman any longer. There's somebody who can take over. And Jehoiada's got good skills. He'll raise this boy well. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you should do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house, and a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. They're going to protect this child. They're going to make sure that this child lives. Go down to verse 9. And the captains over 100 did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them, that they should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest and to the captains over hundreds of the priests, give King David spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. He not only called these guys into this conspiracy with him, he made sure that, yeah, you guys are doing the right things. I think you're so doing the right things, I'm going to give you the good stuff. I'm going to give you the spears made by David, because this is the rightful one in the line, and you are to protect him. And the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, and he put a crown upon him. The priests said, "This is the one who will lead us." He put a crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "God save the king." Now, notice something here. You may be seven, and you may be king, but all you are is a seven-year-old. And so Jehoiada really is the one that's in charge, because he's raising him. He's teaching him. He's showing him how to be king. He's showing him what authority he has. And he's put all these people around him speaking into this child's life. But when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And coming from her, these are some of the funniest words. I just thought this was really funny. I had a picture of this woman saying, "What's going on in here?" And she looked, and behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason, treason! How did you get to be queen?" Yeah, treason, treason. So this bloodthirsty woman is now crying treason, crying foul. There's a lot of interesting women in the Book of Kings. Jezebel, y'all just sit and read about Jezebel one day. She became the we're gonna get a new dog food named Jezebel, the queenly mix, you know. But see, some of you are just going to have to read your Bible to know why that's really funny. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the hosts and said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her, kill her." Kill with the sword. For the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." Sometimes I am amazed, from both good and bad and up and down, how we get into this, bureaucracy. That's not quite the right word. Just this we want to do things the right way. So we're going to kill somebody, but don't let it be around God. Okay. Kill her with a sword, for the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was slain. And remember, Jehoash is the king, right? But Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king. He led the little boy in his little prayer. You've got an agreement now with God. You're going to live your whole life following after God. He made a covenant and the king and between the Lord and the king and the people. You're going to be a good king. You're going to follow. You know, we can do that for our children. We can help them. We can help our children follow after God. We can help them at an early age to know that they are to follow God. We can help them to know. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to do it. But we can lead them to know that they are to be servants of the Most High God. So they make a covenant there, and in verse 18, and all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, and the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. More dead bodies, more things slain. And he took rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guard and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne, 7-year-old. And all the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. So at 7, he kills the person who shouldn't be on the throne and sits on the throne. So if he doesn't get it right later on or messes up a little bit, do you think you might be able to understand? Do you think you might be able to understand why he doesn't value certain things that maybe offend our sensibilities today? In fact, do you think that maybe the person down the street that you want to witness to who seems to have a very different value system, could it be that maybe he just grew up differently than you? Maybe that he's just gone through some stuff that you've not gone through? Could it be that maybe when you look at people, you need to look at their whole background and what is beating up on them, what is pushing in on them, what they've seen? Some people just haven't seen right. Some people don't get it. Some people don't know. There are some really nice folks that have never experienced the things that you think are normal. And we can stand in judgment of people. We can stand in judgment of those folks that we think are out there when we've not given them any evidence of how it is life should be lived. Remember, the Bible calls this man a good king. And he started at a very young age in blood. Think about the Bible for a moment. Can we be honest? I mean, it's really important for us to be honest. It's really important for us to think about what we're saying. Adam's sons kill each other. Well, one kills the other. And that kind of killing goes down through the generations. God, our God, our loving God, our God who cares about us, wipes out every person on earth except 8 souls. There's Moses. Moses. He's going to get this thing right. He's going to be the righteous deliverer. So he kills somebody. David, we've got David, don't worry. He's a good and righteous and wonderful king. He looks over his parapet, leans into the balcony and says, "Who that?" Oh, wow. That's Uriah's wife. Bring her to me. Wait a minute. She is married to some. Bring her to me. Yes, sir. Oops. She gets pregnant. You didn't put everybody in danger. They could stone you. Of course, you're the king, so you could just change the rules. But they stone her. I'll try to get Ryan drunk and go enjoy his wife. I have to call him back because he's out fighting my wars that I should have been at. But I'll call him back and we're gonna be there and he's gonna, and I can't get him because I can't get him to do this, to even fake it. I can't get that to happen because he's too loyal to me. So he has Uriah murdered. Ah, that's Old Testament stuff. Once you get to the New Testament, these guys are just wonderful guys. Peter, it's coming down, and he sees all these things, and God says, "Eat." And Peter says, "I ain't eating that. I don't eat that stuff." God has to tell him, you know, I'm the one that decides what's clean and unclean. But it could have been worse. It could have been like Paul. Paul's got zeal for God. We're marching. He's got zeal. And he is going to wipe out all these infidels. And when he sees a scene where people are going to stone this really bad guy, you know, because the guy is just telling the story of God, just telling the story of Jesus, just telling the gospel. When he sees that bad guy, he says, and people are surrounding him, wanting to stone him, Paul says, "Listen, let me hold your coat so you can throw a little better. Let me hold your coat so you can do that." And later on, he is even commissioned to go and drag people out of their houses so they can be tried. This book is made up of humans. We've got to recognize it's only of the grace of God that we are able to be what we are. It's only by the grace of God. He has so kindly, so wonderfully chosen us before the foundation of the world. He said, "I am going to choose you. I want you, and I am going to empower you by my grace to be able to live a life that can be called righteous in spite of who you are." Amen. I'll call him a good king if I want to. Back in the 12th chapter of 2 Kings, Jehoash, remember, he was hidden in the temple. He lived in there. And he looks around one day. He knows the place better than most people. He's saying, "This place is a mess. it's not working right. This doesn't honor God. I want it fixed. So he tells Jehoiada, let's get this place cleaned up, take the money in, and let's get it going. But what happens? Nothing. Why could that possibly be? Because Jehoiada's been in charge all this time. And it's not that he didn't love him. It's not that he didn't care for him. He was just the kid. He was just the kid. But the kid says, I am now a man. He says this, there's a firmness behind these words that's new. In let's start at verse 6. But it was so that in 23rd year King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. He's 30 years old now. And he had already said, repair this house. Then King Jehoash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priest. He knows he named Jehoiada. He called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? I've told you to do something, and it is not done. He didn't wait for an answer. He said, now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. He wasn't saying that the people would not bring any more money, but he said, you can't use it anymore. You can't spend it on you anymore. You can't spend it on anything but building this house. You are going to do right. There comes a time in your life where you have to say, this is what must be done. This is how we're going to do this. It's time for this household to glorify God. It's time for us to do the right thing. And he gets it done. Much to his credit, Jehoiada didn't try to go around. In fact, he found a way. Look, I'm not touching this money. He got a chest, bore a hole in it, let it get filled up, and when it got filled up, officials came by and counted the money up, and then the money didn't go to Jehoiada. The money went to the craftsmen that were building it up. And notice another thing. They didn't even buy new goblets or things for decoration, for using to do this. No, this is only for exactly what he said it was for. They used the stuff that they were supposed to the right way. Verse 14. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and the sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priests. Everybody was getting what they were supposed to. We are supposed to do things the right way. We're supposed to do things decently and in order. Now, we didn't read this earlier, but I want you to look at this last little section here. Because although Jehoash grew up and tried to do right, when Jehoiada was gone, things went south again. Then Hazael, the king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, the king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord, and in the king's house, sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. And the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Silo. One of the great challenges is that we live in a world that is full of sin. Have you ever noticed that? That there's just lots of sin, lots of craziness all around us. And sometimes when we get saved, we're changed, right? We're made different, right? It's different, but somehow we think when people are made different, when they are taking up their rightful place, we think that they have been made perfect. And they still know how to depend upon God. You know, you want these sermons to be uplifting. You do. You really do. But what I'm trying to tell us is that we need to watch out for the fact that we don't fall into getting the world's solutions. Sometimes we are dealing with the world's solutions. After all of the wonderful things that he'd seen God do, all the wonderful things he'd heard God do, he still decided that he was so weak that he had to go to a foreign king to protect him. Gave away all of the improvements that he made, gave away all the goodness that he'd done, just because he was afraid. And some of us are afraid. Some of us are afraid. We're afraid that we won't be able to live the way that we should, so we'll sell our soul. We're so afraid that things aren't going to go right, so we act in ways that are unbecoming Christians. We're so afraid because we don't want to be alone. We're so afraid because we don't want to hurt anymore. We're so afraid. And those things can mess up our judgment. And that is why we need each other. We need each other for wisdom. We need each other for strength. We need to hang together. We need to have people. I need a Jehoiada speaking into my ear saying, don't do that and do this. And Jehoiadas need to hear me when I speak. We need each other. I wanted to tell you, we're in a fortunate place where there are actually people that are born again who love the Lord and can speak truth into your life. We must develop spiritual friendships. We must develop relationships where people can say yes and no. We must develop our own sense of what God is doing, because we live in a sinful world and it's hard for us to tell when we still have vestiges, we still have stuff hanging on to us that would cause us to make poor decisions. Like I said, this is a strange choice. But I think it's important because it helps us to understand that we've not gone out of the world yet. We're like little outposts in the world. When you're born again, you become an ambassador for Christ. And you can help people to know how to live. When you become born again, you are brought into a family that will help you stand against the craziness of this world. When you become born again, you might still fall occasionally. But if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You're kings and queens, called by God. You're a royal priesthood. And we are all made, every one of us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for the care and feeding of others. You can't get away from that responsibility and enjoy the wonder of God. It's not easy. Oh, but it's so worth it. Think of some of the beautiful things that Doug has built. Some of them had him scratching his head and saying choice things. But now he can stand back and say, what wonder, what blessing. Babies that have just come and babies that are on the way. And sometimes, I hate to tell the secret, but sometimes it's really uncomfortable. But boy, is it worth it. You know, sometimes we forget what we're waiting on. Daniel, may I borrow someone here? Thank you. I got her. Hello, Lily, it's me. Bless you. No, she isn't. She's gonna love me. You see, sometimes we forget what we're baking. Sometimes we forget what we're doing. We want it to just be this microwave life where we snap our fingers and everything changes. But the reality is that God is doing wonderful and amazing things in our lives. And they don't happen instantly. Sometimes we get there before we're ready, and when we're ready, we seem to lose the help that we had. But I'm telling you, God is doing something good in our midst. Believe it. Receive it. This is not the formal thing, but I'm going to pray over this beautiful baby. Dear Lord, I just ask that you would bless this bright-eyed child, that you would give her an amazing sense of insight and foresight and understanding at a very early age. I ask that she would be raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I ask that you would allow her to enjoy your presence. Bless her. Encourage her. Protect her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. We're going to have our Lord's Supper, the communion. It's an opportunity for us to remember the wafer, the bread, symbolizes the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came to earth, human body, real. You can touch it, feel it. The wine symbolizes his life, his blood. His blood that was spilled on my behalf. On your behalf. And it says that we are family. We got a few funny uncles, I know. We're going to survive that. And we're going to love each other and care for each other and see God do miraculous things in us, through us,